You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Friday morning. It's August 15th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, podcasts, social media, streaming on the website. However you got here, thanks for wrapping up your work week and starting your day right here. Parker Olson is producing this fine little shindig from Madison Studio A2, where he too got the memo that today is National Hawaiian Shirt Day, which we will talk about in today's calendar. But you look like you're ready for a luau.
I feel ready for a luau. I think that's what matters.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given. You never know when a luau is going to break out.
True.
So you got to be ready for these things. It's Free Ticket Friday. We're going to give you a chance to potentially win some Brewers tickets to a game next weekend, since the Brewers are on the road this weekend. So stick around for that as part of Free Ticket Friday. Also coming up today, there has finally been some movement in the legal case about the mayor of Wausau engaging in what I would describe as a heist, removing an absentee ballot drop box from City Hall while echoing Republican talking points about absentee ballot drop boxes. But when I say there's been some legal movement, I wouldn't call it encouraging, because there is a new special prosecutor. It happens to be the last Republican candidate to run for state attorney general. I mean, was Pam Bondi not available? I don't know. Also coming up this hour, we'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil about Texas Democrats deciding to return home now that California's governor is starting a process that could offset the corrupt cartography being done by Republicans down in the Lone Star State. We will review some of the latest moves by the Trump regime in our week in review, whether it's the military takeover of Washington, D.C. streets or sending armed masked troops to a rally by California's governor, or inviting Russia's war criminal dictator to a summit today on American soil. We have a president that's all about putting on a show, even though he keeps losing in courtrooms as judges strike down his illegal orders. But do Americans even know that as it's happening? We'll talk about a new report from a nonpartisan research group that outlines how the new Wisconsin state budget will draw down that multi-billion dollar surplus. Now, that's just the data. The data says the surplus is waning. Here's the judgment. That's good. A surplus isn't supposed to just sit there for years, as Republican legislators had allowed, hoping to squander it later. Instead, it's coming back, both in the form of tax cuts and new investments. And that just goes to show the importance of having a Democratic governor when there's a Republican legislator, or perhaps vice versa, to ensure a more balanced approach rather than blowing it all on things like, you know, tax favors for the very wealthy. And finally, Mike Clemens is live in Indianapolis. He will join us to preview tomorrow's Packers preseason game. So that's coming up in our 8 o'clock hour as well. And so, yeah, Alicia's saying, love the Hawaiian theme of your Brewer shirt. Thank you. Yes, this is one of those Hawaiian shirts with the Brewers logo they were selling at the stadium a couple years back. And, you know, I think when I first got it, I thought, this might make me look like, you know, too much of a middle-aged man. Well, now I'm not a middle-aged man now. Now I'm an elderly man. So it's perfectly appropriate for what I'm doing here. And Alicia says, ooh, I like Parker's shirt too. You guys are so festive. There you go. So
it's a big day. Got to dress for the occasion.
Yes. Well, the thing is, see, we're always a little less dapper than Kiavakil.
That's true.
Folks watching on social media, I'm going to bring up his slide here. When we do Kia's segment and we bring up his photo, that photo of Kiavakil is from a wedding, as you can tell. He's very dapper. It's not a tuxedo, but it's a really nice suit. He's holding a little glass of champagne or something, and he'd be the first to tell you that photo is probably 10 years old. But you know what? It works. And when you get a photo that works, and I say that because, and I should have brought a visual aid for you, Parker, as well. Somebody popped up a visual from when Up North News first started 5.5 years ago. And I look nothing like how I looked 5.5 years ago, at least in that photo, because that photo was from 8 years prior to that.
Oh,
from
God.
From my congressional campaign. Back in 2012, that's probably the last time I had like any kind of a professional trying to make me look good. And so I milked that thing. I wrote it for as long as I could. There's no way I can use that photo now. But, you know, until Kia gives me something else, he's going to look really dapper. And since I can't look really dapper, a Hawaiian shirt it is.
I feel like that's a very big theme with guys, is we like to just use a photo until it is no longer anything resembling us.
I don't think it's just the guys.
No, you think it's everybody?
I'm not going to cast us too many aspersions here, but there are definitely women going guilty. You know, look, when you get a good one, you want to hold on to it. And again, I wish I had one to share with you, but you know, we do family photos for Christmas cards every year when the girls were younger. And there was one particular year, and I want to say it was right around 2000, maybe it was 1999, something like that, before you were born. Oh, God. And I mean, we looked at that and we're like, wow, we look good there. And we still have it, you know, it's in our bedroom someplace. And we've stuck to this. Like that, whenever it's our time, that's going to be the obituary photo, because it's like in our heads, that's how we always look. That's how we're always going to look. I don't look like this 61-year-old package that's sitting here now, not taking good care of himself. I'm the guy that's 36 over here. That's a better representation of how I feel on the inside.
That's what we like.
If only we could have photos from the inside, not literally. That would not be good.
Ew,
at breakfast time.
That's a
but
weird
you
thought.
You get what I'm talking about here. Enjoy what you can out of the day here, because it's not going to be the most pleasant weather weekend here. Brittany Merlot will, I believe she's off today. I could be wrong. She might pop up here in an hour, but I know she's had a few days off. But according to the National Weather Service, today starts what will be a few days of hot and humid conditions and daily chances for showers, thunderstorms, heavy rains. The heat index will reach the mid to upper 90s this afternoon in many parts. It's a weekend of active weather, and there is the potential for strong to severe storms, primarily affecting western and central Wisconsin this evening into tonight before it continues eastward. Accompanying the heavy rain will be concern for localized flash flooding and rivers rising in places. Unfortunately, you can't really say where. There's very little confidence in the forecast models about where exactly over Wisconsin this system is going to slow down or even park itself and just dump some rain. However, hot and humid conditions will also be around on Saturday, and the heat index in southwest Wisconsin could top 100 degrees. So stick around for your own forecast on your local civic media station throughout the course of the day. Parker, plans for the weekend? I could always rely on you to say you were working a Madison Mallards game. That's not the case anymore. The season's done.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do with yourself now?
Well, now I get to actually do stuff that is fun stuff. that weather forecast is kind of scaring me, Pat. I am going to Irish Fest on Saturday.
Oh, in Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah. So I would really love it if we had less, what was the word, active weather?
Active, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Less of that would be very nice. So
okay. And yeah. Yes, for folks watching the video stream, yes, it is the Roy Kent coffee mug, as it always is for Friday.
Of course.
So that he can say the words that I can't say on the radio. Other folks will be getting set to go pick up some coupons for free burgers. We got the details on the George Webb giveaway. And the free burgers, So do I have to cancel next Wednesday's weekly staff meeting too, now that next Wednesday is when they're giving out the free burgers?
You know, if I lived a little bit closer to one, maybe you would.
Okay.
But it's a little.
So next Wednesday at all 23 George Webb locations, basically around the Milwaukee area, they will be giving out the free burgers. However, starting today at all locations, there will be vouchers available so that you can come back later and get your free burger at another date if you don't want to join the throngs next Wednesday. And by the way, the free burgers will only be available from 2 to 6 p.m. So next Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 6, you can join the crowds. And I do mean crowds, because back in 1987, the first year that this promotion was fulfilled, they handed out 168,000 free burgers. There will be a limited menu during that time. So if you go in going, I would like chicken strips, don't be dumb. Just don't do that. It's burger time next Wednesday afternoon. So go do that. The Brewers, meanwhile, are in Cincinnati. They will be taking on the Reds for a weekend series here. The pregame will begin at 5:05 this evening on Civic Media stations around the state, like WBZH up in Hayward, stations in Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, Richland Center. All got that coming for the Red Series. And then next week is, as I know we've talked about repeatedly, down to Wrigley Field, 5 games in 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then is the doubleheader on Monday, I believe?
Right away? I would think it's right away, yeah.
I would think so. They're making up a rain out.
Have we complained about that, by the way?
It's a day-night doubleheader. What's that?
Have we complained about that, by the way? I don't
just
know.
Just a little bit, but okay. There's always room for more. We can always complain about the Cubs. Go on.
Good. I want to complain about the Cubs and the fact that they are making this be a doubleheader. That should have been played like a month ago whenever that happened. That was a very stupid thing that I think, hopefully, is going to shoot them in the foot.
I hope so. I hope it comes back to bite them, because they were, you know, the Brewers were not nearly as hot back then as they are now.
But, very true.
You know, let's just say, look, nobody's going to get full of themselves. We're not pulling out the brooms going, oh, we're going to sweep 5 from the Cubs. No, nobody's
not beforehand.
Expecting that. No. Now, should we, the main thing is, look, the Brewers are going to lose a game at some point here. And it really is a matter of, how do they bounce back from that? I would again reference 1987, like I did a moment ago, where the Brewers, they had won 13 in a row, but it was right after that they had like a 10 or 11 game losing streak, you know. So that's the beauty of baseball. That's why I'm a baseball fan. Some of you folks are really looking forward to football. You're actually going to watch a preseason football game tomorrow afternoon at noon from Indianapolis that Mike Clemens is going to tell us about in just a bit. I am not. I'm just not. I am not ready for football yet. I understand. Parker, you're ready for football, aren't you?
I am. I'm very ready for football. I don't know if I'm quite preseason in. I'm not quite I'm going to watch every minute of a noon Saturday NFL game.
Nor should you.
There was a
game on last night, and we were at our local watering hole with some friends, and you know, I'd gaze up at it every now and then. If it was regular season, I'd pay more attention, even if it's not the Packers. But it was like I kept looking up there as more like an annoyance. Like, isn't there a baseball game we could be watching right now?
Eh.
It's still baseball season, at least on my calendar. Preseason game though is taking place tomorrow. And like I said, Mike Clemens will tell us more about it later. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, let me thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Free Ticket Friday keyword is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, Pat. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Did I forget to hit that little button over there?
You might have forgot the little button.
Oh, here I am. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, you can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news through our newsletters. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. Today's edition includes a note from Sherita Booker about the latest scam that's out there. And I know you like to think, you know, you won't fall for these things. The fact of the matter is the scams keep coming because there are some people that fall for these things. So if you get something that claims to be from the DMV or the DOT and demands payment for unpaid tickets or unpaid tolls, don't delete it. Delete it. Report it as junk. The DMV will never text you asking for money or personal information. So read more about that in our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Well, yes, it is Free Ticket Friday. So here's your first chance to win 4 club-level seats to see the Brewers next weekend. Because, of course, they're in Cincinnati this weekend. But next weekend, they'll be back home playing the San Francisco Giants. And we've got tickets to the game next Saturday evening, August 23rd, against the Giants. Here's how to do it. Get that Civic Media app, download it from wherever you get your apps on your phone, because you have to be able to receive tickets and use electronic tickets on your phone. That's how this works with these club-level seats. So if you can do that, you can also use the app, use the text feature at any of the stations that you can call up on the app, and text a keyword. We've got one keyword for this show this morning. You've got to text it before 9 a.m. Then there will be other keywords on other shows throughout the day, so you can enter, you know, at least 4 times today. And then from all those entries throughout the day, statewide, off all the stations, one will be picked, and you could be the one that wins 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Giants next Saturday evening, August 23rd. The keyword for today, text it by 9 a.m. The word is first, F-I-R-S-T, as in first base, for example, or the first inning, first, F-I-R-S-T, text that to us, and you could be the next winner of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, in the headlines today, I am going to start with just this moment of frustration. This is, again, dealing with Wausau Mayor Doug Denny, who took it upon himself to engage in the heist of an absentee ballot drop box. He had spoken out previously that he was not a fan of absentee drop boxes. That's not his call to make. He was advised by a couple of people in City Hall to not make any unilateral moves, and yet he did. Now, if you or if I were to put an absentee ballot drop box on a little cart dolly and wheel it away, and that happened a year ago, do you think we'd still be sitting here just waiting for something to happen? No. There would have been consequences by now, and there still have not been consequences for Wausau's mayor. The city ethics board has done its investigation and has a hearing set next month for September 5th, but the State Department of Justice had an investigation, in part because the Marathon County District Attorney wanted a special prosecutor because of potential conflicts of interest. I totally get that. You would not want a conflict of interest in a case like this, where you have a mayor who is repeating partisan Republican talking points while engaged in removing this absentee ballot drop box from City Hall, right? No conflict of interest should be apparent. I totally understand what the Marathon County DA is doing here. Here's who the special prosecutor is. It's the DA in Fond du Lac County, Eric Toney. If the name's a little familiar, it's because he's the last guy that ran for state attorney general as a Republican and lost to the current attorney general, Josh Call. So the mayor spouting Republican talking points is going to be investigated by the Republican district attorney in another county who ran as the Republican candidate for attorney general. Now, before you say, oh, you know, why do we even bother? Why do we even have rules? I'm going to leave a little wiggle room here because, for all we know, Eric Toney might want to run for attorney general again. Whether it's against Josh Call or if Josh Call decides to run for governor, you know, maybe Eric Toney would like to run for an open seat. Whatever the case may be, Eric Toney has the chance, after looking into this, to do one of two things. Either he's going to have some spinal fortitude, shall we say, and say, this is outrageous and there should be consequences. And I'm not saying Doug Dinney needs to spend any time behind bars, that nobody is saying that. I don't care if it's a $5 fine. I literally do not care if it's a $5 fine. It shouldn't be. It should be more. But it sets that precedent that you cannot tamper with elections in any way, shape, or form. And he has faced no consequences for that. So this is Eric Toney's chance to look at the plain facts of the matter and come up with some kind of consequences. Or, in order to not offend a partisan base, Eric Toney can look at this matter and say, you know, the mayor of Wausau did nothing wrong. And, you know, by not doing anything, I understand that future Republican officials may take it upon themselves to tamper with elections in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, we've got a president that will do that, wants to overthrow an election, then pardon all those people, and then put troops on the streets of Washington, D.C., So which way is Eric Toney going to go on this? He's now the special prosecutor. The spotlight is very squarely on him to do what's right by the law and by the integrity of our elections. Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kiev Akil, will join me right after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And again, our keyword and our free ticket Friday is FIRST, F-I-R-S-T, text it to win. Welcome back, 6:35. Again, the keyword for Free Ticket Friday is FIRST, F-A-R-S-T as in first base. Text that to us using the Civic Media app. Before 9 o'clock, you will be in the running, part of a statewide drawing. Keywords throughout the course of the day. Get those four tickets to the game next Saturday against the San Francisco Giants, who are coming out from California. Weirdest pivot ever. Let's go to Los Angeles, California now, where Kia Vakil, Courier's senior national political editor, is standing by. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I appreciate you giving a little time to us because we know you're about to take a little vacation time, and well deserved without a doubt. And so when you leave, when you fall off the grid here, it has nothing to do with the fact that your governor, Gavin Newsom, has called for elections on new congressional maps. This is purely unrelated, but it is one of the last stories you get to cover before skedaddling. How much of a surprise is it that he actually called these elections to call for maps that respond to what Republicans are doing in Texas?
It's not a surprise at all, honestly. Newsom has been signaling he's going to call this election for several weeks now. You know, California does technically have an independent redistricting commission, but that's, you know, typically that commission works every decade when the census is done, just like every other state draws new maps. California draws new maps. But, you know, Newsom, to his credit, you know, doesn't want to see Donald Trump be able to just strong arm Texas Republicans, who are very willing to go along with it, by the way, mm-hmm. to essentially eliminate five Democratic seats just to prevent voters who might not like the Trump agenda from holding him and the party accountable. So Newsom wants to essentially offset that gain by switching five districts here from red to blue. It's bad for democracy that we're in a race to the bottom, but Trump is driving this race. He's leading this race. And I credit Newsom for not just, you know, shrugging his shoulders and giving up the fight. Way too many Democrats have not shown enough spine this year. And, you know, Newsom is doing that. He is making clear that he's only doing this if Texas proceeds with its redistricting. He's not going to do this just to gain more power for Democrats. It's purely to try to prevent Trump from, you know, enacting a power grab. And we will see if it works. Voters have to approve it. Polling shows they're not necessarily on board yet, but I suspect a huge avalanche of advertising for the next 2.5 months may affect that, especially if it's framed as a way to push back on Trump's overreach. California is, you know, not a purple state. It is quite blue. And in an off-year election, I suspect it's the Democratic base that'd be more likely to turn out. But it's not a given. We could see voters surprise and reject this idea. We could see lawsuits against it. We could see lawsuits against the Texas gerrymandering. So it's still very much in process.
It is. And I'd remind folks, I mean, California has elected, you know, Republican governors, you know, in the past. And again, this is not a presidential election. So, and you also have, as we saw from our question of the week and our Sunday morning newsletter, you have plenty of people who might typically, you know, be progressive or liberal, but who are saying, well, two wrongs don't make a right. So it is a development, but it's not by any means a slam dunk. What it did do is it gave the impetus for Texas Democrats to say, okay, we've made our case. Somebody else is trying to come to our rescue. So we're going to go back to Texas now. The date isn't certain yet, but I mean, they'll come back, and the Texas Republicans, it's not like they've seen the light. They are still going to ram through this mid-decade gerrymandering, I assume.
Yeah, and it's the Democrats are in a tricky position in Texas, because not only are they can't stop it if they, as long as they're, the only way they can stop it is by just staying out of the state indefinitely. But Texas is a part-time legislator. They are not paid. It is not their full-time jobs. Most of them have kids, or a lot of them have kids, I should say. You know, they have things that they need to be in Texas for. You know, this is an unfolding story. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more twists and turns by next week, but yeah, where we're at now is it looks like they're going to be headed back sooner rather than later.
So now that takes us to, we've hit the West Coast, we've hit Texas. Let's get over to Washington, D.C. itself, where Trump has tried to, you know, all but declare a military occupation of Washington, D.C. I haven't noticed a lot of changes. There's certainly been an uptick in arrests, I assume many of homeless people, which again, that's not an actual solution. And it does seem, Kia, that while it is mostly performative, it still sets a dangerous precedent for where this guy wants to go next.
Yeah, it's extremely troubling. We've seen footage come out on Wednesday night and on Thursday afternoon of people being detained by federal agents. And, you know, this is, we're seeing reports that the DC police are now going to work more closely with ICE. So this is all deeply troubling. This isn't the sort of thing that happens in a healthy democracy. It's the sort of thing that happens in an authoritarian dictatorship. It happens in fascist states. You know, this is what happens in places where, you know, we historically, the U.S. has held up as abusing human rights and being undemocratic. And now we are doing the very same thing. And we have never been perfect, to be clear. We have a long history of repression and militant crackdown on protesters. But this is genuinely frightening, because it is not being, you know, it is being done to protect the ego of one human being, one very tiny, small, sad human being. And it is, I live in LA, where we've had federal agents laying siege to our city for 2 months now. And it's, you know, I don't see them every single day, but I've seen them. My friends have seen them. It's disconcerting. Even if you aren't in the neighborhoods where they are, there is an air of fear and distrust in the air. And there is a fear that the people who you see, you know, serving you food or cooking you food or working at coffee shops or at the library are not going to be there next week. We are seeing kids arrested now in Los Angeles from their high schools. I wouldn't be surprised if that comes to D.C. The way ICE expands, ICE is getting more funding as a result of the Big Beautiful Bill. Wouldn't be surprised if that comes for communities all across this country. And it's really sad. This is just going to rip communities and families apart. It's going to destroy people's livelihoods. And all it's going to achieve is creating more tension and friction and trauma in this country. And it's not going to make anyone safer. I don't know how anyone's made safer by this. And all it is a work program for fascists at the end of the day.
And let's keep in mind that at its base, this is a race-based policy or a racist policy, depending on how you want to look at it. And I would direct you to, if I'm not mistaken, the Lebanese gentleman who's the owner of Trump Burger Restaurants, who it doesn't matter. You put Trump Burger on the name of your business, you're still going to be detained and potentially deported because, you know, Trump does not care if you claim to support him. He'll decide whether he wants to support you.
Yeah, this is all about trying to essentially by force eliminate the, you know, growing rates of immigration that have happened over the last couple of decades in this country. And he doesn't care if he's doing it to people who voted. We've seen dozens of people who voted for Trump detained or their family members detained or stopped at airports. The gentleman you described, which I believe it's in Houston, those restaurants, you know, it's just beyond parody that the guy who runs Trump Burger got detained by the Trump administration because he happens to be from another country. And one, you know, it's pretty clear we're targeting people who are brown, whether they're from South America, Central America, Mexico, or the Middle East. And it's just, it's appalling. I mean, it's against everything that I think is what makes America great. And it makes us a smaller, sadder country that is going to be more isolated from the world. And when you pair it with all the other policies they're enacting, it's going to cause generational devastation. And even if you're not someone who like necessarily is pro-immigrant or loves everything that's happened, every single thing they are doing is a gift to all other countries who want to see us dislodged from the top of the global order. And, you know, personally, at this point, we may deserve that, the way we're treating our own citizens and people who live here.
Well, and we're certainly seeing the best and brightest, you know.
Yeah, people are
leaving. We're no longer the beacon for that. And so many things that we take for granted here. We've talked about the Medicaid cuts. Of course, there was Roe v. Wade a couple of years back. Well, this week we're talking about Social Security turning 90 years old. And again, forever was thought of as the, you know, the quote unquote third rail of politics. But nobody should think that, you know, 90 makes you grandfathered in, no pun intended. People are nervous as they mark the anniversary of things that we thought were bedrocks of America's promise to its workers.
Yeah, I mean, I think no one should feel confident that this program is going to stick around the way it has for the past 90 years. I think we know that there are people in the Trump administration who want to privatize it. Scott Bessent, who is the Treasury Secretary, described the sort of there's a policy in the Big Beautiful Bill. I think I can't remember what it's called exactly, but that essentially he described as a backdoor to privatizing Social Security. Right. They're called Trump accounts, I want to say. So, you know, we will see what happens. I am 33 years old. I am not confident Social Security will be there for me when I'm 65. I am acting as if it won't, because that is not something I think you can count on. Roe v. Wade is gone. Obergefell might be gone. They cut Medicaid by the largest cuts in history. They are trying to make backdoor cuts to Medicare. The Affordable Care Act premiums are going to go up 20%. All of the things that made life easier and more livable for, you know, the bottom 90% of this country over the past 60, 70, 80 years, they're trying to reverse. They are trying to go back to a time, you know, where the robber barons and Wall Street tycoons were comfortable and everyone else, you know, struggled and died young.
And we'd had this discussion yesterday, how it's only like every 100 years that they try these tactics like, you know, tariffs and isolationism, protectionism. And 100 years ago and 200 years ago, it caused depressions. But, you know, sometimes we're a little slow to learn things when there's nobody left alive who could warn you not to do these kinds of things. And speaking of tariffs, we'll end on that note, because you'd think, well, look, let's talk about back to school. Summer's coming to an end, and let's focus on the kids and end of summer. But I think parents are already looking. If anybody thought Trump was going to bring prices down, tariffs are affecting school supplies as well as everything else out there.
Yeah, there's plenty of reporting out there that back to school supplies are up. The prices are up quite significantly. I think some are up by 20%, I was seeing in an article earlier this morning. And that's not surprising. A lot of them come from China and overseas. And, you know, Trump's tariffs are taxes that consumers pay at the end of the day. And we've seen a lot of reporting that, you know, businesses have thus far held off on passing those costs on to consumers. But you know, are indicating more and more that that's going to change. You know, I think they held out hoping that this would be short term and that Trump would change course, which was delusional, probably, given that it's one of the two things he always has talked about, tariffs. But they're going to pass those on. Companies exist to make money, especially in the United States. And, you know, people are already struggling living paycheck to paycheck. And that's unfortunate because ultimately it doesn't really benefit anybody.
And by the way, I note in a couple of these reports, they say, be careful with where you're shopping, because with a lot of other things about tariffs, we've said people will use this as an excuse. Businesses will use this as an excuse to jack up prices. And so comparison shopping is very important. In some places, prices for like notebooks and glue sticks have doubled, but in other places they have not. So it's another thing that these tariffs have caused is you have to be a much more savvy shopper and not go to the ones who are looking to jerk you around just because current events say they can. So with that shopping advice, let's send Kiavikil on a vacation. He has earned it. And we will see you after Labor Day. Safe travels. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you, Matt.
Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Now, to be clear, it is a summer Friday, so I do have some yacht rock coming up, and I would normally start with that. But we usually start with some kind of a moldy oldie, and Dean Martin definitely qualifies that way. On this week in 1964, The Beatles' A Hard Day's Night was the number one song until today, when that song, Dean Martin's Everybody Loves Somebody, knocked The Beatles off the number one spot, telling you that the full rock and roll era had not quite taken hold yet. But it was getting there. Greg Bach is here as part of today's history lesson on this Friday morning, August 15th. Mr. Bach, how are you?
Good morning. And do you think that when Dean Martin hit number one, parents around the country went, okay, it's fine. We told you it's a fad. Dean's back.
Yep, it's a fad. By the way, on this day, 1 year later, 1965, the Beatles played to 60,000 fans at Shea Stadium in New York City. And the kids turned back to the parents and go, see? So, oh, well. So that was Dean Martin was 1964. Let's go to a number one hit from 4 years earlier, 1960. And the number one song was by Elvis.
It's now or never.
Now, folks who were paying attention last week know that we also visited 1960 when the number one song was Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. It was only the number one song for 1 week before this Elvis Presley tune, based on the Italian song O Solo Mio, became the new number one hit. And in further proof that rock and roll did make its comeback, on this day in 1969, the first day of Woodstock, a little festival at Max Yazger's 60-acre farm in Bethel, New York. I'd like to be that farmer who's like approaching going, hey, can we have a few people over and do a little concert?
Yeah, sure, why not? I don't mind. Just make sure you clean up after yourselves.
That did not happen.
I just like the fact that they sold tickets and at one point people just started going in for free. They finally just go, it's fine, it's a free concert now.
Yeah.
Because you know those tickets were like $3.
Well, you know, they were very popular. What can you say? Happy birthday to the Doobie Brothers, Tom Johnson. He is 77 years old today. I know when I hear Doobie Brothers, you're going, wait, where's Michael McDonald? Where's Greg Bach doing his impression? But today is about the first lead singer, Tom Johnson. Although they're both touring together now with the Doobies,
yes,
right?
They are, and I really would love to see that show because, as I've mentioned before on this and any other program that will have me and anyone who will listen to me on the streets, I have seen Michael McDonald in concert, and it is one of the best shows I've ever watched in my life.
So there we go. We got to figure out when they're coming close and go. Just pack on the Civic Media bus and let's take some people.
Let's go see the Doobie Brothers.
Retired Justice Stephen Breyer is 87 years old today. And let me get the hat ready. Of course, we got to have our Yacht Rock fix. The
late Captain.
The late Bobby Caldwell was born in New York City this day in 1951.
Captain Kreitlow is here.
Yeah.
But I have a question.
Yes.
I wonder what you...
I bet you wonder where I've been.
If you want to see some videos, really watch young people watching that video and their reaction to finding out that it's a scrawny, tiny white man singing this song.
Oh, yeah. He was the Rick Astley of his era.
But would this be yacht? I'm not saying we can't play it on the yacht. I'm saying we can rock out on the yacht with it. But from what I understand, this qualifies more as blue-eyed soul than yacht rock.
It is definitely blue-eyed soul. And I think the yacht rock simply comes from the vibe that it gives off. It's a very yachty vibe. Let's see. Bobby Helms was born this day in 1933. He had a lot of popular songs back in his day, but all anybody knows is Jingle Bell Rock, which you hear every Christmas time. Yep. Actor Ben Affleck is 53 years old today, allowing for the obligatory, I'm Batman.
I'm Affleck. Also, I looked it up. Woodstock 69 tickets, $18 for 3 days.
$18 for 3 days. What a bargain.
Whoa. Yeah.
Or free if you bring 100,000 friends.
Yeah.
You know, just storm right in. Joe Jonas is 36 years old today. Jennifer Lawrence is 35 today. I am a good person, and so I will not subject you to Diana Ross and Lionel Richie singing Endless Love. But I will tell you that it was the number one song this day in 1981. Instead, we'll pop up to 1992, where the two top spots on the charts were by Boyz II Men and TLC. This would be Baby, Baby, Baby by TLC. And the reason we mention them both being on top of the charts is that they were up-and-comers at that point. They were both on the road as the opening acts for MC Hammer the Too Legit to Quit tour.
Oh.
And finally, Apple introduced the iMac computer this day in 1998. It is on an iMac computer from which the show originates in beautiful Chippewa Falls. So thank you, iMac people, for something that works well today. Although, was it yesterday or the day before when I did that software update? Didn't work so good then, did
no,
it?
No, it didn't.
Did you do a software update during the show?
No, right before the show.
Oh. Or,
actually, no, it was the night before. I thought it would all be good, but something didn't sync with it quite right.
Yeah,
no,
so I have said goodbye to Apple. I'm tired of paying a lot of money for this
same
thing.
Yeah, Steve Jobs is not around to make things better anymore.
No.
You can hear Greg weekdays 9 to 11, Matt and Air on Air, along with the aforementioned Matt and Air, Jane Matt and Air.
Mm-hmm,
what you guys up to today?
We have Brittany Merlot this morning doing weather at 9:50. Then, of course, Dan Schaefer in the 10 o'clock hour with everything recombobulating the news. He's back. He's here. And we'll talk about a lot of good stuff. And then finally, This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:50. And if you want to know the addition, you're just going to have to stick around and listen to find out, because that's the beauty of This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
That's how this works. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Greg Bach, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Hey, a reminder that it's Free Ticket Friday. And if you... Before 9 o'clock, you got two more hours yet. Text us the keyword FIRST. You could be in the running to win Brewers tickets to next Saturday's game. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.